is after him, but it's Fahin who's bounding clear up the hill, and he is a machine. Fahin maintains his unbeaten record, and it's a treble for Willie Mullins and Remy Walsh. Fahin's a champion. Arctic Forest.
It was never in any doubt that it's going to be a magnificent hat-trick in the race for the Willie Mullins trade for Vega, and a treble on the day for Ruby. He didn't have to move a muscle.
Day one is done. Day two is here. Welcome back to the From the Horse's Mouth podcast, looking ahead to Cheltenham Festival with Ruby Walsh, Frank Hickey, and myself, Patrick Connelly. Now, we're recording this after the declarations came through on Monday, so we are unaware as to what has happened on day one. So we're not ignoring any news, trends, or anything that happened on the first day. We just simply don't know at this stage. What we do know is that there are still tickets available for the Cheltenham Fan Zone, which is in the Camden on the 17th and 18th of this week. For those who still haven't got plans on the double bank holiday, that's the place to go. Free tickets to Punchdown if you're early enough. Paul Carberry, Fran Berry, whole host of people. Free bets in the Paddy Power shop as well, which is just down the road. Once you walk in, you'll get handed a tenner free bet to use at the Cheltenham Festival. So definitely worth a go if you are at a loose end this bank holiday, super bank holiday weekend. Now, what else have we got? We've got still free bets available for you if you're a Paddy Power account holder. Just log on. You get a free bet. The first 3 days, we're giving you a free fiver to use. And if you're a shop customer, pop into your shop. And remember, days 2, 3, and 4, we are going to have a money back or loser race. I can't exclusively reveal that the money back or loser race on the Wednesday will be indeed the Ballymore. Right, that's all of the messages I need to get out. You want to hear from Frank Hickey and Ruby Walsh on the Ballymore. 4-6 favourite is Sir Gerhard at the time of recording. 6-1 three stripe life. Journey with me is 13-2. This one surely going to Ireland. Stage Star, shortest price of the British runners, 13-2. It's 16-1. I am Maximus who goes here. 20-1. What do you want? Danny Mullins riding for Willie Mullins. 66-1 Scarface. Hacksaw 100-1. And Hemlock is 151. Okay, Ruby Walsh, Sir Gerhard, obviously you've been a massive fan. I know that you were pretty keen on wherever he went. Right call to go here?
Hopefully he's only a PK. He looks to be in great form. I don't have any worries about the trip for him. It looks a good bit easier race than the Supreme. Three stripe life was behind him at Leopardstown. I don't really see how he turns the form. I think Sir Gerhard can only jump better and therefore be a better horse than he was at Leopardstown. Journey with me looks a strong stayer, but looks more like an Albert Bartle horse to me. So I think this is Sir Gerhard's to lose, really.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at the Paddy Power website. 13-2 at the time recording for him to win by 4 lengths or more and 3 stripe life to finish second. Frank, is there any other kind of betting angle into the race?
I think so. Look, he's by far the most likely winner. Your one concern would be there's 11 mils of rain forecast on Wednesday. Will the ground go soft or even more testing? And if it did turn into a stamina test, how would that suit him? Look, he'll probably be fine. But a 4-6, it wouldn't be for me at that price. I think, you know, a lot of people probably have multiples going back earlier in the year. That's fine. But a 4-6, I could let it go and win. And the way I'd look at it is, there's two bets I thought were interesting if you were in looking at the race. One would be, I'd prefer to back 3 stripe life to place in the first three at 4-5 than to back Sir Gerhard to win. Because I think I think 3 stripe life is definitely going to improve for Steppy Up and Trip. Probably not enough to beat Sir Gerhard, but you imagine it should be enough to keep him in the frame. And the other one I liked in the race was I Am Maximus. He ties in with Hillcrest. You go back to his bumper win at Cheltenham on the old course back in October 2020. He beat My Drogo. Of course, My Drogo was undefeated when standing up since, including winning 2 Grade 2s and the Grade 1 over hurdles. And I Am Max was beaten fair and square, and they pulled well clear of the third that day. He obviously had an issue. He was off for a year. His run at Exeter was fine. He was beaten a length. It was very green that day. Looked like he needed it. Won at Newbury very nicely, albeit at a sharp price. But that form has worked out okay. The 4th, 5th, 8th, and 11th have all won since. And as I said, the 2nd to Hillcrest, I think, is very good form. I really rate Hillcrest. So if you're playing I Am Maximus each way in the betting without Sir Gerhard, he's 6-1 in that market. And it's sneaky enough, he's by Authorised as well, who actually has a decent enough record with his runners at Cheltenham. And the bit of rain won't inconvenience him either. So that'll be my angle in the race.
2 days in, we've got two betting without each way selections from Frank Hickey. He's delving into the extra markets. And fair play, he only told me that three horses behind him won a race and he didn't go through all three. Enjoyed that.
I know you don't like that, so yeah.
I love it. It gives context. No, I do love it. Ruby Walsh, by the way, you are on the tea today, I noticed. Or is there coffee. Something? It's coffee. Okay. Irish?
No, just coffee.
He's starting the week off nice and sensible, folks. It's a long old festival. Imagine a 5-day, Ruby. right, let's move on to the 210. It is the Festival Novice Chase. This one, the Brown Advisory Novice Chase, registered as the Festival Novice Chase. This is the 3-mile Novice Chase. This one should be heading to Britain. Brave Man's Game is the 2-1 favourite. 130 Lom Presse, who went here as opposed to taking on Gallopin' Chomps and the Turner. 11-2 Ahoy Senor, who remember had an entry for the Gold Cup for a long while. Capitano's the shortest price of the Irish runners at 8-1 for William Mullins and Mark Walsh. Beacon Edge 14-1. 300-5 is also 14s. Farouk Delen 16s, as is Fury Road and Gaillard de Menil and 20s Bar. All right, then, Ruby Walsh, Capitano. He is the best chance of an Irish winner, according to the betting. How is he?
He's in great form. He surprised me that he fell in Leopardstown. I thought he was a really good jumper, PK. I was surprised to see him end up on the floor. I think 3 miles would really suit him. He at least made Bob Ollinger change gears and go about his business at Punchestown in the Kildare Novice Chase. So that's probably no mean feat. I think the step up and trip would really suit him. But I do think it's a pretty open race, with all that said. Ahoy Senor, I wish he was learning a bit quicker. He is getting the hang of his jumping, but I just wish he was learning faster than he's learning. Lom Presse, I've heard people saying Venetia's horses are gone a bit cold, but she's had 4 winners and 20 runners in the last fortnight. I'd say that's still a pretty good strike rate. And Brave Man's Game, I think the preliminaries would be interesting for him. I think he has to handle them. He got quite warm at Newbury on a cold day on his last start. So, look, there's a slight, I don't know, I don't think there's any blip with Lom Presse. I think Ahoy Senor's jumping has to brush up. Brave Man's Game has to handle the preliminaries. Lom Presse is 100-30. Capitano's 8-1. Either or, really.
Okay. I said this one should be going to Britain, but Ruby's thrown in potentially Capitano there. Frankie, your take on the Brown Advisory?
I think we might get a bit of a result in this one.
Probably, as in Paddy Power, the company.
Well, just, yeah, anyone taking on the front of the market. But Brave Man's Game has looked very impressive. Jumping's excellent. I would definitely question what's under the bonnet when it gets down and dirty. I have the suspicion that there's not as much left as maybe Harry Cobden would suggest the way he rides. Lom Presse has been very good, but you can definitely question what he's beaten so far this year. And Ahoy Senor's jumping, as Ruby said, he's not the quickest learner. And for me, at the prices, I'm going to take a stab at Farouk Delen with Davy Russell backed, or with Davy Russell riding it. He's 6 from 9 under rules, was good enough to be Finilier in the Grade 2 Novice Hurdle at Limerick last season, missed the rest of the season after that. He beat Blue Sari over 2.5 miles at Navan. The likes of Velvet Elvis, who won the big Novice Handicap Chase at Navan at the weekend, Deal Kerr won the Leinster National at the weekend, were behind. He went down to Limerick then for the Grade 1 over 2.5 miles, probably short enough for him, and he was just not on the line by Master McShee. I thought when he was beaten by Statler, I think had he jumped a little bit more fluently, I think he may well have won that day in the Grade 3 at Nace. And last day he beat Beacon Edge narrowly enough, but he was getting 7 pounds. But I just think this potentially could be a right stamina test. I think that's what he wants. He wants a right slog, and I think he's going to improve a bit. And 16-1 with Davy Russell on board, he'll do me each way.
The trend developing, because yesterday in the big novice chase, in day one of the big novice chase, the Arkle, you were keen to take on the top of the market. And the second novice chase, the Vessel, you're keen to take on the top of the market. Live or die by these big decisions, Frank Hickey. We'll see how you go in the Brown Advisory. Right, San Felician is the favourite for the Coral Cup. He's 7-1, joint favourite, I should say, with last year's festival winner. That's the Shunter, as well as, now, at the time recording, Good Risk at All is still a reserve. So he is 7-1, but there's every chance he'd be pulled out because he's a reserve. We are 7 places on the Paddy Power website for the Coral Cup. I could list off so many horses here, but I'm just going to go straight to you, Frank. What do you fancy for the Coral Cup?
Yeah, look, it's going to have a bit of an impact if Good Risk at All gets in or doesn't get in, because he'd be among the favourites if he does. Look, I couldn't say with much confidence, but Indigo Breeze is one that caught my eye. He only carries 10-12 here. Jordan Gainford takes off another 3. He's very lightly raced, only had 4 starts over hurdles. He was good enough to beat Deploy the Getaway at Gore in over 2 miles in November off a year break. He was second autumn evening in Fairy House over 2 miles in mid-January. It looks like he's been kept back for this. He's a half-brother to Brindisi Breeze, who was a very impressive winner of the Albert Bartlett going back a number of years. So you'd think that stepping up to 2.5 miles should bring about a bit of improvement for him. And at the prices, I think he's 14 to 1. I think he might drift looking at the jockey bookings. He'd be an each-way play for me, but I wouldn't have massive confidence at the same time.
Some places you never know. Ruby Walsh, Sam Felicino, I know you were keen on him earlier last week when you were in the office, but I do notice also that Willie Mullins has got a few in the race, including Ganapathy, who Brian Cooper will ride. You've also got Maze Runner, Sean O'Keefe on board. What are your thoughts on the Carl?
I think it's a competitive race, yeah. I have been sweet on Sam Felicino since I watched him winning at Goran Park way back in November. I thought that was a taken performance when he beat Slip of the Tongue in from the cold, was back in third. But look, he had a good run in Ace, which was his third run. He got rated too highly for the Martin Pipe, so he's in here. I think he's a great chance, but that's what he has, is a great chance. He's 7-1 favourite for a reason. The other one I liked was another Gordon Elliott run, one, and it was Grand Roy, Davy Russell ride. I'm going to tip a 16-1 shot that Davy Russell is riding in this race, Frank. I was really taken with Grand Roy. Graham Roy's run in the Boyne Hurdle. I thought that was eye-catching enough for me. And I think he's a big runner here to maybe finally justify his lofty price tag.
Okay. Well, let's find out what he meant by that, Frank. You'll have to fill us in there. Right, we'll move on to 3:30, which, of course, is the Champion Chase, big race on day two. And 4-5, the current price on Shishkin. Of course, could be a very interesting market, this one. By the time you're listening to this, could have changed significantly. 7-2, Energamine, who Paul Tennant has chosen over Shaq and Bourgeois, who's 5-1. Patrick Mullins gets the ride on Shaq and Bourgeois. 10-1, Nube Negra, who was arguably unlucky in the race last year, but surely this is a better renewal. 25-1, Envoy Allen, remember him. 33-1, last year's winner, Put the Kettle On. And 50-1, Politolog, who is no mug, Ruby Walsh. That tells us this is a very good renewal.
It is a great race, and it has everything. And I think what it has most is a brilliant horse, and that's Shishkin. There's two challengers to him in my book, and maybe Noob Negra as well. Who, look, the more I just watched it this morning doing Road to Cheltenham, I mean, if Noob Negra got Shaq and Bourgeois's run in last year's Champion Chase, Noob Negra would have won. And, you know, he's probably the overpriced one here in the each-way play. I think Energamine, I just don't know how he turns it around with Shishkin. And I think Nico de Bonville will keep it so simple on Shishkin that he's going to be, I think, next to impossible to beat, providing he has the average look that every racehorse needs, PK.
On the basis that you don't know how Energamine could turn it around after their Ascot matchup, would you, Ruby Walsh, 4 or 5 years ago, this race was you were still riding, would you have gone, we haven't seen the best of Shaqin in the UK. We might have seen the best of Energamine in the UK. So for that reason, I'm going to go with Shaqin.
No, I've said it, PK. I think Shaqin got a beautiful run through in last year's Champion Chase and couldn't hit the target. And he has to prove he handles Cheltenham. I think I saw enough last year to suggest that I would be riding Energamine if I was Paul Tennant.
Fair enough. Okay, Frank Hickey, 4-5 Shishkin is not your bread and butter by any stretch of the imagination. So I'm intrigued to see how you found a betting angle to this race. And if it's each way in the bet without market, Frank, I swear
no, to God. No. Look, Shishkin's going to be tough to beat, but there is only a length between them. And Energamine is 7-2, and I'm going to have a few bobbing him. Not with any great degree of confidence, but I just think the gap is a little bit. Like, it's basically saying there's no way Energamine can turn it around, and it is only a length. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I just think the gap is too big. And look, I might do my money, but I like Energamine and I'm going to give him another chance. A length isn't an awful lot to make up at the same time for all. It is a difficult task for him.
It is. I'm looking at some of the specials again on site, and I see Shishkin, Energamine 1-2 in that exact order. It's currently 100-30 boosted to that price. If you think that exact same result from their run at Ascot mightn't be the worst bet in the world.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, BeGambleAware.org.
Right, we move on to the cross country, 10 past four, 3 miles, 3 3/4 miles, and going to go four places on this race, which is great. Tiger Roll is 6-4 favourite on the Swan Song with Davy Russell back on board. 11-2 Delta Work, Jack Kennedy at 13-2 Prong Guard, one of the JP McManus Battalion end of Ultra Trains. This one, Mark Walsh, interestingly, on Prong Guard. Some might have thought that he maybe would have gone Shady Operator or perhaps even Easy's Land. Those two are 9-1 and 12-1 respectively. Midnight Maestro, another one for End of Bulgers, 14-1, 16-1 for Bramah Bull. Ruby, I'm going to go to you. Bramah Bull is 16-1. Willie Mullins doesn't have the strongest record in this race, I think it's fair to say. He doesn't seem to get the type of horses that go for it, or am I being a bit harsh?
Yeah, I'd say you've pretty much hit it on the head, PK. Maybe he's not as quick to go that road with horses. I mean, I couldn't see Willie going that way with Delta Work, whereas Gordon has, and maybe that's been creative. But, you know, and I think what's key to this race, PK, is exactly what happens in the weather with the weather on Wednesday. There is 7.5 or 8 mils of rain forecast, and when it falls, it's going to be key to this. If it stays the way it is today, it's a beautiful day here this afternoon, and if it stays that way until Wednesday, Tiger Roll will win. But if it starts lashing rain and it gets slow, Tiger Roll starts to become opposable, and I think Delta Work is the one you can oppose him with. But to me, that's, unfortunately, you're going to have to watch the weather to see which way it goes.
Is the, they don't water the cross country track though, am I right in saying? Although they haven't watered any of the tracks.
In fairness to Sheldon, it's a big job to water the two race courses. Well, that's actually four tracks that they have, let alone trying to go into water the cross country course as well. So no, it doesn't get watered.
Yeah, so but I was going to say, but they haven't actually been watering that much this year, so they're all in the same kind of. All right, so 6-4 Tiger Roll time recording. If there's no rain, get stuck in. Frank Hickey?
Looks like there definitely will be rain. I think it, with the time of 4:10, we'll definitely get some, no matter how much. I've been relatively keen on Shady Operator for a while, definitely from an each-way point of view. I don't think it's that much of a negative. Mark Walsh rides the other horse. Derek Connor rides him all the time. He's had 3 goals over the banks. He won the PP Hogan, and he won the Risk of Thunder last year. He was just touched off by Midnight Maestro on the PP Hogan this year. I think he'll definitely reverse that form. He will be a bit more suited to stepping up to 3.6 miles. I have massive reservations about Midnight Maestro getting the trip, even though they don't go obviously flat out the whole way through, but I still think it's not really his trip. And he's about 9-1, and you could potentially see him drifting a small bit. I think with 4 places, I'd be pretty disappointed if he doesn't hit the frame.
Shady Operator. I could throw in a joke, but you know, I won't. Not this time. All right, so Shady Operator for Frank Hickey. We'll move on to the 450, the very, very easy Grand Annual Chase. I say that sarcastically. 11-2, Buddy Rich is the favourite. Gordon Elliott and Davy Russell. A lot of twos next to this horse's name. He's the 11-2 favourite. Embittered, Joseph O'Brien trains, Brian Cooper on board, 15-2 in the Jigginstown Stud Colours. I'm surprised by that price. I remember Frank Hickey a few days ago putting him up at a nice price, certainly bigger than that. Amarillo Sky is 8-1, 8-1 Time White for Paul Nichols and Bryony Frost, 10-1 Andy Dufresne for Gordon Elliott and Mark Walsh. It's 12-1 Editor Dujit and Before Midnight, as well as Pharaoh Bamboo. Mick Bitts put that up when he was in the Paddy Power shops last week, by the way, Pharaoh Bamboo. All right, Frank, I'll go to you first. You put up Embittered 4 or 5 days ago at double figure odds.
Yeah, I can't remember. He was the biggest 14, and we were ducking him, I think, when they put him up. I'm not going to desert him. My reasoning's the same. He was a 9-2 shot for the race last year when he tipped up off a mark of 146. He's a very similar prep this year, and he runs off a mark of 145. You go back to the county hurdle 2 years ago, he was third behind Sanwa and Aramon off a mark of 146. They're obviously rated considerably higher over hurdles now, so it was a cracking effort. I think the race will be run. I think you're looking at a very strong pace. You've got Editor Dujit Before Midnight. Will definitely kick
pleasure.
On. He's in there as well, isn't he, for pleasure? So you're going to get a really strong pace, I would think. And hopefully Embittered just gets a good position. But if he jumps around, I think he'll be in the first 4 anyway, and I think he's got a really strong chance. I think it's one of the better bets and handicaps, I think, this week.
Lovely. And extra places as well for you as well. I forgot to mention Ruby Walsh. No Willie Mullins horse in this handicap chase because Willie Mullins doesn't win handicap chases at Cheltenham. So thanks for that. So Ruby, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, look, I wouldn't be entertaining front runners in the Grand Annual ordinarily, but since this is the second year now that it's been run on the old course, it does give them a better chance. On the new course, do you remember Paul Carberry coming from so far back on Belvano? That was because of the track it was on. That'd be quite difficult on this track now. So, you know, if you do fancy the ones that go forward, including For Pleasure, you at least have a better chance as where the race is run now. And I'm going to stick with the horse I tipped. And I only found him listening to Frank tipping up Embittered. So I'm going to stick with Poseidon, who was a half length behind him in Killarney last August and is £4 better off of him.
Charles Burns to train a winner at the Cheltenham Festival, something he has done before, the mighty Solwit. Now we move on to the closer on day two. It is the Cheltenham Bumper. It's due off at 5:30 and Willie Mullins has about a gazillion runners in the race, starting with the favourite Facel Vega, 5-4 currently at the time of recording, a horse that Frank Hickey said Paddy Power are going to try and get. And we'll see what kind of a price he goes off on Wednesday evening. 9-4 American Mike for Gordon Elliott. Haven't seen him in a while, but boy, oh boy, was he impressive in two starts. Redemption Day is 11-2. Paul Townend on him. Patrick, who had the pick, he goes with Facile Vega. James Escape, another one for Willie in the Mulryan Silks, is 12-1. Another one for Willie Mullins is Madman Games. Another one for Willie Mullins is Viva DeVito. Another one for Willie Mullins is a very interesting horse called Seabine Bistro. Another one for Willie Mullins is, right, this is the one that we want to talk about, Ruby. This Rich Ritchie horse called Ulan Bator de Shea. Rachel Blackmore rides in the Rich Ritchie Silks, 50-1, two runs in tracks I've never heard of in France. Tell us about it.
Yeah, no, the tracks I'm overly familiar with either, PK. He's grey, no idea where Dirt Hall is, where he won in October, and his other bumper was at Le Pin O'Hara.
Lovely track.
Look, he's a nice horse. Alan Cotille trained him in France. But I don't know, is he as good as the other bumper horses? I don't think he is, PK. I think I think he'd be a nice novice hurdler next year going a trip. But he does qualify for the race, so he's running. At 50-1, he'll stay going. He will be keeping going when a lot of horses have cried enough. And I think he'll definitely have his supporters at Rachel Blackmore riding them. But back to the more fancy ones. Look, I've been in the American Mike camp, or not American Mike, Facel Vega camp. Always, and his mother was good to me, and I ain't going to jump ship now. But look, if you are a Gordon, Jamie Codd, that's the camp you're in. You have to respect what they're saying about American Mike and how highly they hold this horse. They're shouting from the rooftops about him. I know Patrick was betwixt and between over Redemption Day, and James's Gate goes well as well. Madman's Games is there. Viva DeVito. He's not the most straightforward ride. Jody Townend got a good tune out of him when he won. Derek O'Connor takes over. And Seabank Breach draws no back number either. Look, they're a bunch of really good horses. And we think they're a bunch of really good horses. I've been with Facel Vega all along. I'm going to stay with him. But look, if you do enjoy a pint of Guinness, I couldn't put you off James's Gate. And if you're having a shocking day and you need redemption, well, maybe Redemption Day is your choice too.
He's a poet. Yeah, good man, really.
He doesn't know it.
Oh, wow. That is true poetry there. Thanks very much, Frank. Yeah, look, Frank Hickey, is it fair to say if Willie Mullins is sending over seven horses for the champion, but I know this is a well-worn cliche, but I'm going to throw it out to you. If he's putting seven in the race, he doesn't have a Cheltenham bumper winner.
He's got American Mike to beat. He's got, like, if American Mike doesn't win the bumper, Willie Mullins will win the bumper. Look, I really like Redemption Day. I love the way he won at Leopardstown. We don't know how good he is. Like, he didn't come off the bridle to win that day. And the one he beat, Music Drive, came out and beat Senator Kagan and reopposes here. I think the race will be run to suit. Like, the only thing I will say is the bit of rain that's forecast will suit Facel Vega. I think he definitely wouldn't want this. I don't think he'd want good ground now. I think on the soft side, he'll definitely play to his strengths. But as I said last week, I thought he'd drift, and he's already looking like you'll get 6-4, 13-8 tomorrow on Facel Vega. But Redemption Day each way, I think with four places, he's a crack a bet. He'll travel into it, I think. And I wouldn't be surprised if he reminds me a little bit of Fernie Hollow,
appreciated
2 years ago, isn't it? I think Redemption Day is like the travel-y thing. I wouldn't be surprised you see the same thing where he'll travel in behind and maybe pick up Facel Vega. It's the way I see it happening anyway. But
I'm having a couple of quid each way on Ulan Bator de Shea, Rachel Blackmore, Rich Ritchie. This is the Briar Hill. This is it. This is the one that got on the last box. It's like, we got a spare box. Yeah, throw that one on and we'll run it in the bumper. Happy days and up the hill.
No. He's definitely not an afterthought for him. It's been the plan for a while for him.
Ooh, we love that, right? Doubling down, 50-1, lovely jubbly. Okay, that is the bumper at four places, as you rightly said, Frank. The only thing that remains now is to get your day two naps. Right, I'll go back to you, Frank Hickey. Your, as you just mute yourself, that was about poorly timed. Nap of day two, please, Mr. Hickey.
I'll go.
I'll go
big again. Farouk Delaine in the Brown advisory.
Farouk Delaine. What price is he? Was 16 to 1.
Yeah.
16 to 1 naps have been landed on this very podcast in the last few weeks. Ruby Walsh, your nap on day two.
I feel like Frank's put me under pressure to go for something at a price when I was all set to go for Sir Gerhard. I now feel like I have to try and pull a rabbit out of the hat to match him. So what way am I going to go?
You don't have that many bigger prices.
Stick to the tried and trusted. Yeah. Sir Gerhard.
Sir Gerhard. Hopefully he drifts to a nice price of 4 to 6. Listen, thank you very much, gentlemen. We will be back tomorrow to look at day 3 as we pass the halfway stage. I hope the first 2 days have gone brilliantly for your first day. I hope the second day goes brilliantly for you. We'll be back again. Don't forget to go get those tickets for the Cheltenham Fan Zone. If you're lucky enough to be off on the 17th and 18th here in Ireland, you'll have cracking time there. And don't forget to get in shops. Remember, money back or lose the race every day in the Paddy Power shops as well. And a free bet for you if you're an online punter as well. For now, it's goodbye from me. It's goodbye from Frank. I'm supposed to say goodbye. There you go. It's goodbye from Ruby.
See you, PK. Thank you.
See you later, lads.